All right. So stand with me if you're able to, please. We're going to display a bunch of stuff here on the screen as well. But today we're going to look at nine realities of the resurrected body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we're at. And we're going to start reading from verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, starting from verse 35. It says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another." Verse 41 says, "There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in its glory." Father in heaven, we ask, can you please help us to understand this passage, this chapter, as you describe your resurrection, Jesus, how you didn't just die on the cross for our sins. You didn't stay dead. The grave could not hold you. You proved that you conquered sin and eternal death for us. You rose from the grave, and we thank you. Thank you for that. And you also raise our dead lives. And one day we get a new glorified body. So teach us this truth in your word of truth in the Bible. Help us, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. Someone named Leon Morris once said this, and I'll display it here on the display for you guys to see. I'll move this back, by the way, in case someone has to walk up here. It says, "The same power that brought Christ back from the dead is operative within those who are Christ." The resurrection is an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. Amen? So Christ himself rose from the dead, and when you and I are born again, when we get saved, he also rises us up from the dead. You are not, if you're born again, you are not who you used to be. Amen? Others will know you. The government sees you on ID. You still have the same social security number, picture, ID, but you ain't the same. All right, you come to Christ as you are, but he's not going to leave you as you were. He's going to change you and transform you from inside. You start desiring the things of eternity. Even if you never read about it, God himself comes to live within the born-again child of God, the Christian. And as he's given you a resurrected life, you need to know, as you probably ask and we ponder, what happens after this life? And what kind of body do I get? I'm 56 now. We live in an apartment where I got to walk up the stairs. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You walk up, how many? I count the stairs. I'm on the third floor. I'm like, okay. I'm on the second floor. 16 more to go. And I praise God for the railing. You know why? I'll pull myself up. And I often tell my kids, wow, maybe one day we'll have a building that we can live in that has an elevator, right? I wasn't like that when I was younger. I'm 56 now, been here 23 years in New York City. But I realized, though, one day we get a new glorified body. The body that you and I have right now, physically, is not the same that you're going to have in eternity. Amen? The older you get, the louder the amen. Amen? Our ankles, our hips, things start breaking down. So, Mr. Leon Morris, you're right. The resurrection is an ongoing thing. So in this passage, you and I find that this is true. There's a resurrection, a resurrected life that Christ has, that although you can't physically see him, you do see his life living amongst, in, and through born-again Christians. I love that. Because you might sit there and go, well, I think you exist. They say that you exist. But I want to see you. And I pray, God, can you show yourself to me? Jesus, can you just appear? You know, the book of Daniel, you got many, many tekel upharsin, right? This hand appeared. It's like, that was a negative thing. I don't want that. And then we read about and hear about Moses, right? The burning bush. By the way, there's like Amazon has this new series, David. Any of you guys see that? It's a little off. They need to read their Bible on that. But Moses in the book of Exodus, he goes and he turns. I want to see this bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. And so God appears to him, this burning bush. So sometimes you might think, okay, God, I want you to appear to me. It's a burning bush. Maybe not a burning bush. Maybe it's a burning heart. So he lives within us, and you'll see him at work in the lives of those that are following him. He's still alive. Amen? Think about that. It's free to you and me, but it costs him everything as he died on the cross for you. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it can inform us as we study this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are informed, and it's not just the information, but God willing, the inspiration that we need through the scriptures by the Spirit of God. Amen? That he's going to show us how he resurrects our old dead lives. And one day, if you're like me, your body's getting beat up and broken down. You know how, I remember as a kid, I'm still a kid in my mind, kid at heart. But as a kid, you hear these things like, you know you're old when you sit down and you do what? And you stand up, well, I'm that guy now. So one day, we get a new glorified body. And so if Jesus is your Savior and Lord, one day you get a new glorified body. It's going to be a resurrected body, not like this body that, you know, if you're like me, you creak. When you sit down, my hip sometimes will click. I'm like, what? What's going on? And you make noise when you sit down, you make noise when you get up. But not so with your new glorified body, the eternal body you're going to have. So as this chapter continues on to teach not just that Christ did resurrect, but you and I, as Christ followers, that he gives us a new resurrected glorified body. What is this body going to be like? There's a lot of speculation, but I'm going to show you the reality. We're going to see 9 realities of the resurrected body. Let's read about this. Look at this in verse 42. I'm going to also put these. I'm going to start to list them here for you and me. Verse 42, let's read this. It says, the next verse here, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. All right, so 9 realities. Here's reality number 1 of this new glorified resurrected body that you and I get as Christians. Christ followers, what do we get? You get an incorruptible body, a body that can't be corrupted. Think about that. I ponder this. It's kind of neat to think. Incorruption is what it says. So right now, you and I have bodies that can be corrupted. All right. Who here has taken a shower this past week? Okay, look at these people that didn't take a shower. I'm just kidding. So we all kind of had... Your body's stinky. You take a shower. You stink here and there. You might grease the pits. Right? We have bodies that can be corrupted. You wake up in the morning like, oh boy, did you brush your teeth? Okay, let me get that Colgate on, right? You have bodies that can be corrupted. Now, what's that going to be like in heaven? I don't know. Are you going to have to shower in heaven, people ask? You're going to have to, you know, do all that other stuff? Don't know, but you're going to have a body that can't be corrupted. Right now, you and I have a body. It stinks. It leaks. You know, we got to take a shower. This, that, and the other. You get older, you're like, when did I get that new body, God? So you have a body that's corruptible. But one day, for Christians, you and I get a new, glorified, resurrected body. Think about that. It can't be corrupted. This is what it says here. Incorruption. The word for incorruption can mean purity. It can mean imperishable. So in other words, your new resurrected body in the future, it can't be corrupted. It won't perish. Now this is important right off the bat. Because we know in the Calvary Chapel, we love studying not just this text, but the entire Bible. Amen? And we love studying future prophecy, what we also call eschatology, the study of biblical end time events. We love that. Looking at the book of Revelation. They're going through Revelation actually with the kids. or chapter 13. If you guys know and you study that, that's like the 666 chapter. And they're going, Annie told me they're going to go in depth. I'm like, wow, that's cool. So if the kids can learn that, we can too, amen? So we want to study these things and know what the Bible says. Who knows the future? Only God, amen? And he shows us what will happen. Now, oftentimes we might ask, and I've heard this asked by a bunch of people throughout the years, okay, the Bible shows Revelation 19, in the future, from now, that Christ Jesus is going to come back to this earth. We call that the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second time he sets foot on the planet earth. As he comes back, who's going to be following him? Now, Revelation chapter 19. Who's going to be following him? The church. Born again Christians, okay? So people that died that side of the cross in the old covenant time. People that died this side of the cross. Okay, you and I today. Revelation 19, and here's what it says. If you're taking notes, Revelation 19, verse 14. This is God's opinion, not mine. Here's what he says, teaching us. And the armies in heaven, again, who's that? Us. Clothed in fine linen. So are we going to have, are we going to be like Adam and Eve before the fall? We're going to be naked? No. You're going to be clothed. Here's a good passage. White and clean, followed him, speaking of Jesus, on white horses. I don't know how to ride a horse, someone might say. I guess you're going to learn. Okay? I don't like animals. Well, the only animal, sorry, that we do see, at least coming out of heaven, is horses. So Revelation 19, verse 14. So you and I aren't going to have a body that can die. We're not going to have to worry about disease or overeating or, oh, I shouldn't have had that slice of pizza. Or, oh, boy, I love food. God, you gave me taste buds. But you might say, I didn't tell you to eat that much. I love food. I'm in New York City, right? So you're not going to have a body that could be corrupted. But oftentimes Christians ask, as we come back with Christ out of heaven, following Jesus as he comes to the earth, the second time, called the second coming of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 19, if you want to know the future, that's it. It's going to happen even if you don't believe in it. So believe in it. Amen? Revelation 19, second coming of Jesus Christ, is asked, after we come with him out of heaven, can we still be tempted away by the devil? Some people ponder that. Some people don't want to fully live in faith, trusting God. It's like, well, what's it going to be like? No, when you're in heaven and you come back with Jesus, for believers, you're going to have a body that's incorruptible. You're already in this new, glorified, resurrected body, and you can't be tempted by the devil like you can now. Amen? So you're going to have an incorruptible body. We'll get into this more and more as time goes on. Well, let's continue on. What else do we have? You're going to have a glorious body. Not only an incorruptible body, but the Bible tells us we're going to have a glorious body. Look at this in verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. Just going along the text. I didn't come up with these. These are in the Bible. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. So verse 43 says glory. You're going to have a glorious body. In other words, a body that's used for God's glory. A body that's not used for dishonor. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or show of hands, or it's not testimony time, because we're going to be here until Jesus comes back. Because all of us pretty much have used our bodies for dishonor. I know I have. And I go, praise God, that we're going to have a body that's not used for dishonor. A body that can glorify God. You and I now, as born-again Christians, we have the choice, though, to honor God with our bodies or not. Amen? It's your choice. He can't force you. Okay, so he can't force you into heaven. He can't force you to follow him. But he wants you to make that choice. But we're going to have a glorious body. Now, before we became born again, before we were Christ followers, we're in the world, and what do we do with our bodies? I'm not going to tell you, you know, to spout it out. We're going to be here forever. But I could just tell you, I did not use my body for glory, sadly. I even had to apologize to my wife. She never dated before we met. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you got damaged goods with me. I've been through things like abortion, and, you know, I used to be a DJ, so DJing in nightclubs. I'll just let you fill in the gaps there, okay? Drugs, alcohol, I mean, like bad stuff. I had a lot of my friends joined gangs. Some of my friends went into pimping. I'm like, how do you do that? So people have used their bodies for dishonor. We come to Christ, and now we need to choose to love him, to follow him in his ways. Amen? And one day you're going to get a new body, a glorified body, a resurrected body, one that will glorify God. Amen? Okay? So if that's you today, you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to follow Christ, trust him. Follow him. He'll give you a new, glorified, resurrected body, no matter what your past was. And if he could take someone like me, a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner, or like our friend David Berkowitz, I met him, you guys know that. He's in upstate prison. And anybody remember the Son of Sam murderer? I met him. I worked with him, actually. Met him many times. I took my son Joshua in a couple of times. I knew he didn't really touch babies, so I'm like, here you go. You could tell, moms, you could tell when a man has never really held a baby. Why? Because they hold the baby like this. Right? They don't, like, bring him in close. And that's how he held little Joshua. Joshua, you don't remember that. You were a baby. So he's born again. Even someone that's serving 5 lifetime sentences, God could take and transform and resurrect his old dead life. And one day, although he's murdered people, just like the Apostle Paul who wrote this book, that God can give him a new life, a new beginning, a new hope, a new family. Yeah. So you and I, no matter what you've been through, no matter who you are, Jesus can still save you. He can set you free. He could have you. You just need to turn away from that old life, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and move forward with him. Amen? But you don't know how many times I've tried. Listen, I've tried a bunch of times. I backslid more than I want to. Sadly, part of my testimony. Failed the test many times and finally passed the test. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Now you give me a testimony. But to know that there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. That's Isaiah 61, verse 1. All right, so the bodies that we've had in this world, people flaunt their bodies. People worship other people's bodies. They get drunk. They take drugs. They mess up their bodies. It's used for dishonor. But you and I get a new glorious body, one that will give God glory. No matter who you are, no matter what you've been through, he'll give you a resurrected body. Amen? Amen. So that's reality number 2. Let's continue on. But wait, there's more. All right. Powerful. Look at this again in verse 43. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So verse 43 also says power. Speculative, but we know that it's God's power, though. Amen? You and I do not have inherently this power. The Greek word dunamis, the dynamite, dynamic, boom, explosive type of power that comes from God. So you and I can live this powerful life, even this side of eternity. But then, as you have a new glorified body, a resurrected body, raised, look at this, in power, because of God's power. And he'll give you and I that ability to walk with him, to love him, to serve him. Powerful. So our old bodies, notice this, our bodies are full of weakness, aren't they? If someone in weakness is raised in power, as you get older, us guys, how many of you guys know, as you get older, you're like, my strength is not the same. Okay, as I remember when I was younger, some of you guys might work out, I remember like, we just sit there, yeah, throw another plate on, yeah, yeah. You get older, you're like, no, take it off, take it off. Our bodies are weak. And no matter what, all of us are included in this one statistic, that 100.0% of us will one day die. We're born, and then we die. What happens in a little blip of life that you'll see in the cemeteries, even across the street here, this year, that little dash, that's you right now. And what matters now is how you've lived for Jesus Christ. Because once you die, it's over. Game over. You can't go back and undo. You have to give your life to Jesus Christ. That's my encouragement to you, no matter who you are. And there's a whole bunch of new folks here. Don't know everybody. You got to admit that you're a sinner. Any sinners here? All of us, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You got to realize, though, that Jesus, Messiah, he's the only way to heaven. He died for all your sins on the cross. He's your Savior who died on the cross. Anybody here accept Jesus as their Savior for their sins? Only way to heaven. You can't pray to Mary. You can't pray to anybody else. You can't pray to a dead saint who ain't. You need to only go to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, right? And then turning away from your sins, repenting from that past. And now what? There's a void in your life, and now you got to fill it with Jesus Christ. Follow him. Amen? That's a disciple, a follower, a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. The Great Commission, make disciples. Not make money, not make members, make disciples. Amen? That's what the church is authorized and empowered by God to do. So one day, born-again Christians, we're going to have a body raised in power, a new, glorified, resurrected body, a body that has God's power. Right now, you and I live in this weak body. Okay, but one day we get a new glorified body. What next? Let's read in verse 44, the very next verse. It says, in a sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. The fourth reality, you're going to have a spiritual body if you're a born again Christian. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Not the same. So verse 44 says spiritual body. Right now, you and I have a natural body. Everybody do this. Pinch. Ouch, right? You're physically alive. Anybody not physically alive? Okay, nobody raise your hand. That's good, because you're alive. Okay, so you have a physical body. One day, you're going to have a spiritual body. A body that's resurrected. A body that's going to give glory to God. A body with God's power. A body that's incorruptible. What about for people that are not born-again Christians? They die and they're burning in hell right now. Everybody that side of the cross, everybody that died right now that do not have Jesus as a Savior for their sins, they die and they're burning in a place called hell. That's sad, isn't it? It's like jail. It's like Rikers Island waiting to sit before the judge. And on Judgment Day, that's in the book of Revelation, past Revelation 19, where there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And everybody that does not have Jesus as a Savior for their sins, they're going to spend eternity in a place, what's that called? The lake of fire. It's like prison, an eternal prison. That's called the second death. And we love you. We don't want you to go there. Nobody. So what we need to do is preach. We need to declare, shout this good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen? Why? Because no matter how long someone lives, that's their only chance to be able to receive Christ as Savior for their sins, turn away, repent, and then now follow Him as the Lord of their lives. So we get a spiritual body, not this natural one. The natural body struggles in this fallen world, doesn't it? It's a fallen world. Man, it's getting worse and worse. There's all these wars. Are there still going to be a war? How many are dying in Ukraine? How many are coming out of Russia? All these different things. There's going to be, what Jesus said, wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes. We just had one in Jersey. It's like, how many times do you hear of earthquakes in Jersey and New York City? In California, we heard about them all the time. You're like, okay, it'll stop. Oh, this is a 5.0. You get used to it. That's sad, actually. In Southern California living, people get used to it. You don't get out of your bed. You're like, oh, let's just ride it out. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wham! Like, whoa, this one's a little bad. Let's go stand in the hallway. New Yorkers, though, if that happens, like, people freak out because you're not used to it. So in the end times, you'll find this, was it Matthew 24? Jesus prophesied that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences in diverse places, all over the place. We're seeing this. So this world, it's a fallen world. It's getting worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. It's getting worse, according to what God says. So you get a spiritual body. It's a body that's not carnal. It's a body that's supernatural. Right now, you and I are just living in the natural. That's why we need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost in our lives, amen, to live out this supernatural life while living in a fallen world in a natural body. God, I need help. let me send you the helper, the Holy Spirit. And He wants to help us. We just have to ask Him for help, right? Amen? It's like you're driving along, and how many of us know, you know so-and-so is lost, but they're not pulling over. Why? Pride, right? And it's if you're married, anyhow, what you see from my perspective sometimes, kind of funny. So when we need help, we need to kind of pull over and ask God for help. Amen? The helper, that's the Holy Spirit, He's going to help you, but you have to ask Him. And what does that require? That requires for me to admit, oh, I need to humble myself and ask for help. And with God, a lot of times that could be a problem with many of us. All right, let's continue on. What else does He say that He's going to give us in this new glorified body? Let's read in verse 45 and on. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, As was a man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. So reality number five, you're going to get a body that's resurrected, this new glorified body. It's heavenly. The word literally used in the original Greek language before it's translated to English is existing in heaven. A heavenly body. Oh, if you have a body that creaks, that aches, you know, bad ankles, bad knees, bad hips. Oh, you get a new heavenly, glorified, resurrected body. Praise God. Amen. You're going to get that. It's heavenly. Right now you have an earthly body, obviously. But if you're a born-again Christian, you get a resurrected and a heavenly body one day. So if you're like me, as time goes on, the more your body aches and creaks, you like your prayer life goes up, kind of, right? Lord, I want that new glorified body. Don't kill me yet. I want that body. You get it one day. It'll be a body that can exist in heaven with Jesus. But for those that are not born-again Christians, they're not going to get a heavenly body. They're going to have a second death and spend eternity in the lake of fire. So that's why we need to let people know the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Why? So they could accept him as a Savior who died for their sins. They could turn away from their sins and receive salvation, and they get this new glorified body like we get. Amen? All right, what about number six? Do you know that you're going to have a body that's image-bearing? This new resurrected body that you're going to get? Image bearing. Wait a second. We're created in the image and likeness of God, it says in Genesis. Yes, that's correct. But you're going to have, now that Messiah is known to be Yeshua or Jesus, look at this, what it says here in verse 49. You're going to have a body that bears the image of the heavenly man. Who do you think that's speaking of? Not Adam, who sinned, Jesus. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that speaks of Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So you're going to have a body, a resurrected, new, glorified body, that's going to bear the image of Jesus Christ. What's that going to look like? I don't know. I haven't seen the YouTube video, and I don't think anybody's got it. Okay? But you're going to be like how Jesus is. You're not going to be Jesus. You're not going to be God. But you're going to have a new glorified body that's going to bear his image. Oh, and check this out. We were talking about this yesterday, even with my family. What is the only family? Meaning my own family, you can't answer this. But what's the only man-made thing in heaven? What's the only man-made thing that will be in heaven? Good. Give me a high five. The scars of Jesus. When you read the book of Revelation, John sees his heavenly vision in the Revelation, sees a lamb as if had been slain. The scars of Jesus. Think about that. We get a new, resurrected, glorified body, and it's just, the thought of this makes you want to cry. Because Jesus, second person in the Holy Trinity, God from eternity past, God eternally, he died on the cross, resurrected in heaven. John sees him as he's in heaven as a lamb as if had been slain. He's still going to bear the scars for your sins that he died for. And yet you and I get a new glorified body. No scars. Think about that. Does that make sense? Is that fair? Don't tell Jesus, hey, that's not fair. You and I just have this short life, that little dash on the tombstone. That's our life. A little blip. But for all eternity, Jesus is going to bear the scars. So there's going to be no one in heaven going, Jesus, you don't love me. He'll be like, You want to doubt? Like, okay, the spear that pierces side, the scars. He's going to have scars. And yet you're going to have a glorified body that's image bearing. Let's continue on. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. What's this mystery? He's going to tell you. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Reality number seven, you're going to have a changed body. Changed. The word change literally is to exchange one thing for another. Look at this in verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, everybody do this. Everybody blink. Blink fast. In the twinkling of an eye, like a blink. What'll happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So verse 51 says, we shall all be changed. We have to exchange these physical bodies for the spiritual, eternal, resurrected bodies we're going to have. Amen? But it's not happening now. This answers the question, how do we go from here to there? How do we go from now to then? Well, some of us are going to physically die, but some of us are going to physically be alive when Jesus comes back from heaven, not the second coming where he sets foot on the earth. This is why you need to learn the Bible with us throughout the Bible. He's going to come back to the clouds, and the church, when he comes for his bride, his church, is going to go up to meet him. Like he says in the book of John, I will, you know, come to bring you to myself. Okay, so he's teaching here, Paul's teaching about how every Christian gets to be changed. Not all are going to be changed the same way. Some will be physically alive here, and that's what the church calls the rapture of the church. Who here has heard of that? And some of you may think that's kind of weird. First time I heard of that, I'm like, that's weird. And I was a scoffer. I was a non-believer on that. And people challenged me, okay, read your Bible. You know, be a scriptural sleuth. And I did. And I'm like, wait. It's the only answer, just according to the Bible, not opinion. We don't want to have man-made opinion, just God's opinion in the Bible. Amen? Force yourself just to ask and answer, what does the Bible say? How does the church globally not be here, but yet be in the heavenlies? You'll see it in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, how John got his vision in the heaven. The only answer with the Bible is what we might call the rapture of the church. As taught in 1 Corinthians 15, as also found, you'll see this if you're taking notes, it's also in, I'll turn on the slides here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can read the whole chapter later on, especially verses 13 to 18. But I'm going to point you to what it says here in this verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain, so the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word that we take, and we might say that word rapture. I don't care what you call it, the catching away. It's just taken by force. It'll be global. It'll be instantaneous. Jesus is going to come back for his bride, for his church. How's that happen? When does it happen? I don't know. Beyond the Bible, God's silent, so I must be silent on that. But I do need to be one who teaches the Bible and wants to believe and preach that. Amen? That's what it says. So Paul taught the rapture of the church to the church at Corinth and also the church at Thessalonica. That's the book of the Bible called 1 Thessalonians. Okay. So some people mock the rapture. I kind of understand that. Guess why? Because I used to mock it. And then others challenged me to read the Bible. As weird as that might sound, like, I read the Bible, I studied it, I looked at it. It's not hard. There's only 66 books. When you read the totality of the Bible, you see, how does a church globally, all at once, get there to be in the heavenlies? The only answer you have in the Bible that God gives us is the rapture of the church. So Paul's teaching, whether it's 1 Corinthians 15, is what we're going through now, or this chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, not everybody, before you get this resurrected body, not everybody's going to die. Some are going to be alive when Christ comes back for his wife, the bride, the church. And what's going to happen? He's going to take us away. All right. Number 8 now. We're almost done here. The reality number 8, what does it say here? Look at this in verse 53, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 53 now. For this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. That's number one. And this mortal must put on immortality. You're going to have a body that's immortal. Again, like we looked at in the first reality, number one. You're not going to have a body that can be killed again. You're only going to die once physically, or if you go, you're not going to have that physical death. Or we might say this. If you're only born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you have a spiritual birth, be born again, you only die once. Okay, there's an eternal death called the second death. Those that will die and be thrown into the lake of fire for how long? For eternity, sadly. All right, we're going to have to close here in just a bit. But you're going to have a body that's going to be immortal. Mortal means subject to death. Immortal means undying or everlasting. You're going to have a body that won't die. It's an everlasting body. And finally, to close this out, number 9, victorious. You're going to have a victorious body. Verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're going to have a victorious, resurrected body, but it's through Jesus Christ. Victorious. Death is swallowed up in victory is what verse 54 says. And this word for victory means to utterly vanquish. To utterly vanquish. So death will be utterly vanquished for all time. Right now we have to deal with death. We'll have to have funerals. We'll have to, and we live in the part of New York City where they, I guess years ago, they were like living in Manhattan and go, what do we do with the dead people? Throw them in Queens! This is why there's like so many cemeteries all around here, right? Kind of crazy. So the reality of these things, how shall we now be? Susan, can we get set up to close with a song, please? I'm going to have to close here. So if you ask, look at this, and finally, the last verse of chapter 15, knowing this, knowing these realities, how are you and I to now be? To know that Christ did die for our sins, amen? And he resurrected from the dead. This is what chapter 15 is all about. Big chapter to point you to the fact that Christ did die, but he did resurrect. And now he wants to resurrect our lives, your lives. And you get a new, glorified, resurrected body for all eternity. One that's immortal. One that's not going to die. One that doesn't have creaks and aches and pains. Praise God for that. But how are we to now be? Look at this in verse 58. It helps answer this question. We're going to close with some worship in a bit. And maybe you're one that you want to pray to receive eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm not sure. We got a bunch of new people here. I don't know everybody, but maybe someone here wants to pray to admit, yes, I'm a sinner. Christ Jesus died on the cross as my Savior for their sins. I want to repent, turn away, and he's going to give me a new life in Christ. And then maybe that'll be you that comes out to get baptized next week. But if that's you, I'm going to give you a chance to come forward in a bit and we can pray for you. But closing this out in verse 58, how are we to now be as we know that we get these? These are the realities of this resurrected body. Look at this in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, notice he says, my beloved brethren. In other words, this does not apply for someone that's not a part of the family of God. Okay? You have to be a born-again Christian. You have to admit that you're a sinner. Any sinners here? The Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay. We know that Jesus died on the cross, but you got to bridge those two. Did he die on the cross for your sins? As your Savior, the only way to get to heaven, the only way to pay for your eternal sins, or to pay for your sins so you don't have to pay in eternity. He says, my beloved brethren, then this would apply to you. If not, you could stop right there. It wouldn't apply to you. Okay? Brethren, so this is the church, the family of God, born again Christians. So first get saved by receiving salvation through Jesus Christ, and then this Bible study would apply to you. Continuing on, he says, be steadfast. Here's what you're to now do. If you're born again Christian, you believe Christ Jesus is the Savior who died on the cross for your sins. You've turned away, you repented, and you're asking for his help to turn away and help to follow him. Then this applies to you. So now, how should you be? Be steadfast. The word steadfast means firm. Don't be wishy-washy, flaky-bakey, whatever you want to call it, right? It gives the notion of sitting. Actually, when you look at the original word, it gives the notion of sitting. And I'm not talking sitting how you guys are physically sitting, but be stable with things. Don't be just wishy-washy, jumpy here and there. Okay, that's not biblical. So it gives you that notion of sitting versus always lacking God's peace and being shifty. Okay, so don't be shifty in your walk, in your life with Christ. Be steadfast. And he says, going on, immovable, obviously. Immovable. Here's what it says in the Bible dictionary. Not to be moved from its place. Not to be moved from its place. Christ Jesus loves you, died on the cross for your sins, resurrected. He gave you a new life. Don't move from that. Amen? Be immovable. And notice what else it says. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So you need to start serving God. always abounding. Always means at all times. That's literally what it means in the Greek language there. Abounding means with abundance. So the finishing command here in chapter 15, after we get through 15 chapters of this book, if you believe all this, Christ Jesus died on the cross for your sins, He resurrected, He wants to give you a resurrected, new, glorious, resurrected body, what should you now do if you're part of the brethren? Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So the finishing command here in chapter 15, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord always and serve Him in abundance. Okay, and for those of us who serve the Lord publicly, even here or however or wherever you do, you need to know this. He says here, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you serve God, He gives you an eternal reward, not just an earthly one. You get blessed now, but also for eternity. Is never in vain. So He's going to give you an eternal reward if you serve Him now while you're physically alive. Oh, I'll just worship Him now. The test is now. Amen? It's like someone that might think, well, when I'm on my deathbed, that's when I'll receive salvation. No, nobody knows the day, the hour when you're going to go. So just know if you're serving God, know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He's going to reward you one day. All right, so let's do this. Let's all stand, please. We're going to close. I'll close with a word of prayer to close out our service and close this time. But also, we're going to have a time of worship. But if you want to pray for salvation through Jesus Christ, I'm going to simply ask you to come forward and come up here. And the same thing, sinner, savior, repent, follow. If you're going to admit to me that you're a sinner, that Christ Jesus is your savior who died on the cross for your sins, and that you repent or turn away from that old life so that you can even get this new glorified resurrected body that we looked at, and you want to follow Him, if you could admit that to us, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer where you can simply admit that to God and just ask Him for His help and strength moving forward. Let's close with a word of prayer. And some of you might want to worship. And if anybody, whether it's one or some or all, I don't care how many, if you want to come forward to pray, we'll have you come forward for that time as well. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time. Lord, we ask that You please would help us here. Lord, we thank You that even what You say in John 3, verse 16, that God, You so loved the world, You gave Your only begotten Son. That's Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, our great High Priest. You gave Him over to be the final and the only sin sacrifice you're ever going to accept. He fulfilled Torah. He fulfilled Jewish law, because all we can do is break the law. And then He died on the cross for our sins and said, it is finished. All the work that You had to do, Jesus, to earn our salvation, to redeem us back, to buy us back, You did for. You paid. You paid by Your death on the cross and pouring out Your blood. And You created this new thing that we call the New Covenant, the New Testament. The new way that we approach heaven is through You, Jesus. You and Your work, as You died on the cross, poured out Your blood, and then You resurrected according to the Scriptures. So we believe, we receive salvation. We get this new glorified body, a resurrected body one day. But Father, I pray that You would touch the hearts that are here. Maybe someone needs to pray that today. Maybe they're not sure. But can You please touch the hearts that are here and help us simply to help them to get to know You. For we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.